your host, Sully, and I'm talking to another TV host, Matt Gallant. You might know him from The Planet's Funniest. You might also know him from just various work on David Letterman, ABC, and ESPN. Yeah, welcome, man.
good to be here. Thanks for having me. And
anytime.
Yeah, it's always nice to meet
on a fellow journey.
Hosts. Yeah. Yes. Especially in a world where, man, if you're not like a movie star, if you're not an internet train wreck, if you're not,
slapping people on a talk show, I don't know.
Yeah, you're there's really not a lot of work right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always love talking to people about it. And I think it's a great industry, a great business when you're working, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I was even just searching for you. I was just like, you're just stuck in my mind as just one of many TV hosts who just had a sense of fun, really loved doing their job. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to find them. And lo and behold, there's like a website for you. So I'm like, well, I got to talk to him.
I'm glad you did. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have and stuff. I really, really loved what I do or did. Mm-hmm. Lately I've been working really behind the scenes more, creating some shows, working as like a producer.
Oh, lovely.
But anytime I get an opportunity to host something, I mean, that's, you know, it's my first love. So I'm definitely going, you know, if it's a good job and it's not like a, you know, there's a lot of garbage out there. You got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, you don't want to do anything that you're going to regret later just for a buck, you know?
Absolutely. But what I think I really just liked about just your many, just I'd see you pop up. I didn't always know your name, but your voice was just very soothing. Like you're just reminding everyone, hey, we're going to go on an adventure. We're going to see some wacky stuff. And so first off, I mean, you've had so many internships and let's start with how it all began. Were you a TV guy to begin with, or were you just more of a just nature and.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Okay, I'll give you the abridged version. I don't want to bore anybody. So when I was in high school, I always dreamt of, playing center field for the Red Sox. But I'm not a terribly large man. You know, I'm capping out at 5'8" in shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still love baseball, play sports and stuff. But I figured, you know what? I'd like to do radio. So I did some radio in high school. We had like a little crappy radio station. So I got the bug. And then when I went to the University of Rhode Island, up there in Kingston, I joined the radio station. I started calling football and basketball games.
Nice.
And did that for a couple of years. I was sports director at RIU. And that was kind of like my baptism into radio. I can't say TV because it wasn't TV, but into entertainment or being a host. So that was my introduction to being a host or a personality, whatever you want to call it. And from there I did an internship at Channel 6, sports department. And so I kind of learned a lot of stuff.
Was that in Connecticut or Rhode Island?
Oh, that was still in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So when I was in college, I was still doing that. But here's the toughest part. Now I'm much older than you. So
yes.
Like, dude, back in the day, man, if you wanted to get a job, you had to get a VHS demo tape together.
No digital.
Right. So you had to have the camera. You weren't like, you know, you weren't rocking this little phone. You had this big camera and all that stuff. So, when I graduated, some kind of slim, wasn't a lot going on because when I was 18, I looked like I was about 14, yeah. Which, you know, helps you later in life, but doesn't necessarily help you when you're
right
18,
away.
Yeah, or 21. When I was 21, whatever. Anyway, what really got me into TV was I got a job at NBC in New York as a page, and it was an 18-month program. And for me, that was a real introduction into not only living in Manhattan, but living and working in Manhattan, doing the roommate thing with my buddy Joe Ferreira, who went on to be a bigwig at NFL Broadcasting.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's funny because we laugh about stuff. I went to a ton of Super Bowls. We'll talk about that later. But that's where I really got my start, was working at NBC in New York. I did that for about 18 months. During that time, I got an agent and started auditioning for commercials.
Mm. Have you ever tried searching for any of your ads? Like, are they on YouTube anywhere?
There's a good one. Look up Clearasil commercial with Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So it's, and I play the bad guy in that commercial. Jerry's walking. It's me and Jerry. We're having pizza with some girl and we see this dude walking up and she's like, oh, there's so-and-so. And I'm like, remind you of anybody's face? And I'm pointing to the pepperonis, and Jerry says, I mean, it was a really good spot. But that was back in the day, dude, when you could make a lot of money from commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it all watered. Yeah, there was no internet. There was cable wasn't as big. So, you know, it was all on TV. So you made decent money. So that's where I got my start. And from there, kept pushing to try to get on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a couple of failed auditions. And then I finally, just kept... you know, tanking, whatever, just, I wasn't right. And then I ended up getting a job hosting a show on there called Like We Care.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted about 6 months. And I was also the news guy for MTV News, which just closed its doors 35 years later.
So wild, right?
I know, isn't it crazy? I was the news guy for Hanging with MTV, which was MTV's first live show.
Is that how you got your cameo in Good Burger? Not to derail.
Oh, no. I got that out here. And that's, man, you know, so funny, of all the stuff I've done a lot of stuff. I won an Emmy for a show, but people want to talk about Good Burger because it's
that's a movie.
Classic. Yeah. It's a total classic, you know?
Yep.
So,
and
yeah, so that's kind of how I get into it. I worked at MTV for a year. And then both my shows got canceled and that was it. And I moved out to California. Yeah. After that.
Wow. And, you know, the industry, you know, there's no point in waiting on it. You either seek it out or it comes to you, but, there's been so many good documentaries just in retrospect, just reminding everyone just, hey, you know, it's nothing personal. It's not your fault or anything. And we're becoming more socially aware, just anything from mental health to just positive, just recreation. And just, what were some tips and tricks that you often did just to just pass the time and remind yourself, hey, I gave it my best shot. I can do it better next time.
You know, I got to tell you, man, dealing with rejection in this business is never easy.
Too much. Yeah.
And they tell you, listen, they'll be like, people will say, hey, man, don't take it personally. You know? Yeah. And I'm not saying this in any way, shape, or form, like I'm bitter or whatever, but I came in second on so many jobs. Yeah. I made it to the final, I think it was the final 10 of American Idol. A couple other shows, big shows,
mm-hmm.
I was the other guy. And and I'll tell you, man, it is... It's heartbreaking. It really, you know, for me, what really kind of got me through all that stuff was, you know, I'm a pretty spiritual guy, you know, grew up Catholic and stuff. So, you know, I did a lot of praying. I know a lot of people may not like that, but, you know, prayed a lot, you know, asked God for help to get through some of those things, because I'll tell you something, you audition a couple times for a show, you get so close. And when it doesn't happen, you're just like, ugh. You know, it's like that first broken heart over and over again, you know? So, but it's, you know, I believe if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
But you got to do your best, man. You got to show up. You can't be hungover. You can't be, you know, out till 7 in the morning for
no point.
No doing audition. Because there are people, and I see it now. Because I've done it for so long, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, A, I'm not going to work for free. A lot of people are working for free because, you know,
dramas and everything. And
yeah, they're just doing it, you know, really cheap. But it really comes down to it's just like there are people out there that would literally give a limb, you know, to host a show or, you know, and I'm not, that's not me. I look at it as an amazing way to make a living, but you can't make it your life.
Yes, absolutely.
You cannot make it your life. There are very few Ryan Seacrests.
yes. I knew Ryan Clark.
Yeah, or Dick Clark. And I knew Ryan back in the day before Idol. And we were very friendly, very nice guy, super talented, obviously.
Oh, lovely.
But his one focus, his sole focus, was becoming the next David Letterman.
Yeah, that'll happen.
I wanted to do that too. I wanted to do that too, but I also, you know, I sculpt, I paint, I play in a men's baseball league. I'm close to my family and my friends, and I like to have a life. If you really want to be successful, sometimes it's got to be your entire focus, you know? And I'm not saying work wasn't my focus. I'm just saying that man had his focus was unbelievable, like no one I've ever seen.
He was in career mode, and it's still present, but like you say, now it's kind of like a secret game. Like everyone's kind of getting jealous now. Oh, I can't let you know about my secrets. It's like, buddy, you're using a variation of what everyone's using, you know? Like The Rock has been kind of, just as an example, I'm not, and once again, I love how you use your words and do disclaimers. I'm doing a disclaimer too. This is like not a smack talk, but he's been kind of critiqued lately for kind of doing financial security. So that's a good point, is like, it's going to happen eventually. You're going to do projects that maybe, not that they're bad necessarily, that he can do it in his sleep. So, you know, yeah. Everyone else might be bored because they're like, well, we've seen him do that already. We kind of want something new. We want to see him take a risk once in a while. But at the same time, he might have done as many risks as he's comfortable doing. So,
and you look at guys like, you know, especially in the movies, these successful actors pretty much play the same kind of character. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that they go outside of that because the audience wants to see Tom Cruise
jump off a building.
Mission Impossible or be the hero. They don't want to see him being a bad guy.
Absolutely.
And look at The Rock. Rock tried to be a superhero. And, you know, his movie was, you know, it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Total disaster. But, I mean, the guy's such a success. So, you know, people are going to, I don't know. I just think it really comes down. Success comes down to really a couple things, luck, but also what are you willing to put in, man?
Right,
what kind of time, your effort. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you play golf or baseball or any kind of
sport. I did.
Okay.
And it's fun because much like bowling, people either take it too serious or people like me just want to have a fun time. It's like, hey, I know you're going to stop me, but I'd rather be you than someone I don't like. And I love hanging with you guys. I love smack talking. I love joking.
And sports. It's like I play golf with a bunch of my friends. Some of them are terrible, but they get so mad. I'm like, why are you mad? You don't practice.
Right.
You get mad about it. It's like me getting mad that I can't sing. Well, I don't practice singing. You know what I mean? It's like
no point in being mad at it. You haven't obtained that skill or worked on it. Instead of saying do you think a lot of people now are even more vicious with the whole like ultra defeatism? Is like, I can't do it. It's like, well, you don't know that you can do it. Do you want to try?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really from this. I'm from the school of if you want to do something, you got to try.
Yeah,
you don't want to have any regret. You know, you never want to sit there and be like, oh, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. No, I mean, you want to do something, you should try it. Obviously, if it's not going to hurt you or your family, I'm talking about like if you want to be in a career. Go for it. And then you're going to see it's either for you or it's not. You're either willing to do the work or you're not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the issues with today in social media and Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff is millions of, you know, pseudo talent.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's like anything. It's, you know, I'm not really big into Instagram. I mean, I don't do videos and stuff like that. I mean, I post pictures of my dog and my wife and stuff, but or baseball.
That would have been a plot twist. Matt Gallant hosted a pet show, but was never an animal guy. It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny how people will do that half the time. They'll see an actor in an editorial and they're like, you haven't seen your movie? I don't need to. I lived it.
Yeah. No, but you know, for me, it's like, you know, I look and I go, I always want to, you know, I'm from the school of, you know, we're all connected in a way. Mm-hmm. And if you start talking shit about other people, you know, you might as well be talking shit about yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, negative energy brings negativity begets negativity.
And some people can't forget stuff like that. You know, once you've said it, it's like, well, what's to stop you from saying it again?
Yeah. And again, all you're basically doing is, you know, you're really just, you know, talking shit about yourself. So my whole thing is I try never to say anything bad about people.
Right.
Especially not on one of these things or in general.
Totally.
Because it's kind of like, what's the point? You know, we all have our own path, man. And it's like with Seacrest or any of these people that I knew that just skyrocketed, man, I'm happy as hell for them. You know, there's room for everybody to be successful. It's just really a matter of, you know, when it's your time. And if it's not your time, you know, what else are you going to do?
Absolutely. Why wear yourself thin on just even just trust? You know, it's just so often I'll see people who are, I think Bradley Cooper was on a podcast and he talked about how he was at an award show. Everyone's having fun. And then by midnight, everyone starts saying what's really on their mind. And it's very ugly. And it's like, whoa, you know, so that was instead of just complaining, he said, okay, I saved myself the trouble. Now I know I'm not going to work with these types if they're going to show multiple sides of their persona that I'm not ready for.
Yeah. You know, it's the entertainment business is, man, it's ugly. It's not what you think when you watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been in contract negotiations where on a successful show that I did where they got really ugly from the production side. Like,
cynical. Yeah.
And it was more like, Matt's not the star, it's the blank, or it's this or that. And I'm like, nobody said anything about being the star.
Yeah. But now that you've said that ugly thing to me, my morale just dropped. And,
but that's, look, the sooner people in entertainment wake up to the reality that it is a cutthroat business. And it's not a family thing, and it's certainly not for the timid or the weak of heart, because you know LA is a brutal town, brutal city. Yeah. It's brutal. It's you know, think about it, every beautiful or talented person from this small town or city all over the world, they come to Hollywood, to LA, because they want to be stars, right?
Yeah.
And it more often than not, it doesn't happen. And so, you know, you look at those stories. I was very fortunate, man. I didn't know anybody in this business. I just had this, you know, sick, relentless drive. You know, I had a lot of fun. I hope to continue to work. I still have my hair, which is nice. You know, you get to a certain age, you lose your hair, you're fucked. You know,
right.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's going to listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But, I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's breakfast time. Listen at breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Well, and it's also a good reminder on, like you say, I mean, what you just said now, I do think most people will take that advice, but they'll just add to the negativity instead of learn from it. And it is interesting how, yeah, it's just like so many people will be like, oh, it's a heartbreak town, I don't want to try. And it's like, no, you either got to be all in or, you know, half-arse it. You know, it's just you can't do both, and no, you gotta at least try. And
you can't, and here's the thing, like I've tried to help people over the years, and you know, friends of friends or so and so wants to be in TV, could you talk to him or her? And
right, like, yeah. Can I get their number?
Right. And I sit there and so they'll, you know, and my advice is this: if you really want to do something, right, you have to try it, especially when you're young. You got to try it. You got to go for it. But
sometime.
But here's what it comes down to. Are you ready to make the sacrifices? Because anything worth anything is going to take some hard work. And a lot of the hard work in LA is, you know, learning to get around, making friends in this huge city.
And getting legit friends as opposed to, hey, I'm a casual peer. You know,
yeah, I've got a lot of acquaintances. But stuff like just dealing with rejection. Yeah. And I tell people this all the time. Before you come to LA, all right, man, you better have tape of yourself hosting or acting, excuse me.
And a resume with a headshot. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's gonna take a risk. You've gotta have a tape. You've gotta have, and these days you can do it on this thing.
Absolutely. I mean,
it's all this, it's easier. It's just like feature film.
And years ago, I said, I could not do a podcast. That's too much work, effort. I don't have time for editing. I proved myself wrong when I tried it with friends. And long story short, I didn't like how it was going. I said, instead of me complaining, I know what it takes. I know how much effort I'm going to put into it and how to get, I know how to get the sound right. So I'm good. Right. I checked off all the entire list. So now I got to kick ass and lead the way and make my guess.
That's
come.
True. That's because you wanted to do it and you took the steps and you're doing it. And that's the thing that people don't realize too, man. It's like, You know, my mom used to say, don't quit, because success could be just around the corner. And
yes,
there, in, let's see, I moved out here in 93.
That sounds about right. Because
a long time ago. So 30 years.
And again, like you say, different scenario compared to today where
I used to get jobs just off of my demo tape. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they were little gigs. You know, I'm talking like these little cable jobs. I get them just off my tape. Nowadays, like, I just, you know, you, I had like three or four auditions for a network recently. And I was just like, wow. And I asked the lady, I said, how many people did you see? How many? They got 15,000 submissions.
Oh, wow.
And man. I made it down to the final 12, but I don't know what's going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But the thing is, it's like, it's not like it used to be, but it's, you know, you get to adapt. But the biggest thing is this, and I tell people this, don't come here expecting it to be easy unless you know somebody in the business, right?
Yes.
Make sure you have your materials and try to line up an agent before you come out here. But the most important thing is get a job.
Yes.
Get a job that you can make money on, pay your rent, have a life. Because breaking in entertainment, it's not much of a life. I mean, you're bartending. I was a bartender, waiter.
Very common.
Yeah, I did all that stuff. Worked at a sneaker store in the afternoon. Ooh. Yeah, sneakers in the afternoon. Then I worked at sports bar at night. I did that for a couple of years. But, you know, when you're young, it's fun.
Right, before you start looking at the digits and bank account and saying, ooh, yeah, then, I got to put a hood on it.
So, I mean, you got to be positive. You don't have to be a Pollyanna and not realistic. But you got to set goals. And, you know, you write the goals down. And if you're not sure, set a date. By this time, if I'm not doing this, then I'll move on, right? Like with your, I want to do a podcast, okay? Right. If I'm not doing this by this time, then I'll join up with some friends and do it with them. Do whatever. Action.
Oh, totally. And I've gotten to the point where I've even stopped trying to predict the interview. I see so many people, they're second guessing everyone. They're confusing the guests and everything with their diction. It's like, stop, breathe, slow down. You know, the interview will happen when it happens. You know, I see so many people try to force the interview. It's like, whoa. They don't have to talk to you.
You know, privacy. Yes. And it's also listening.
Listening. Yes.
Most people don't listen, you know, rightfully because they're trying to remember their next question.
Yeah.
We all do that when we're young, but the key is, you know, you got to pay attention. Because so if you were to ask me,
how's like your sex life? Yeah.
A preloaded question,
something
right?
Something awkward, loaded.
So I answer it and we're talking. I give you this really juicy bit of material that we should probably then, transition to. Mm-hmm. But if you have your second question already loaded in your head, because you're whatever, you're not listening, you're not going to hear me say, I stole $70 billion.
Yeah. Oh, well, I trust me, dude. I see so many YouTube vlogs now. There's a different word. Where literally they are taking so many awkward pauses between looking at their paper questions. The guest has already lost interest. It's like, you bored them. So now much of an interview.
Yeah, that can happen. But, you know, I think going into an interview, I know from being on your side, is if I had 15 minutes with somebody or 10 minutes, I would have, you know, I'd have like 50 questions that I wanted to talk about in the event that I got a, yes, no, you know what I mean? The responses weren't a conversation.
Yeah,
I
would have complete
questions and I'd just go to that.
Absolutely. It's like you say, it's an acquirement, and then there's so many different ways you can do it. And I think, would you say most people, once they get a good gig, they kind of stop working on themselves. And that relates to your acting question, is like, hence why they're only typecast. Like, I know it all. I don't have to keep growing.
I think, you know, I think it's human nature. If you have a really great gig, to settle into that. But if you look at anybody that's really successful in entertainment, they definitely, they're not complacent. You know what I mean?
No, that's so true. I see so many people complaining about, why does that look like a doctor review? It's like, because it's corporate media. There's so many things which they're shiny for a reason. They're too good to be true. People like the fantasy and they play into it.
I can totally understand that.
But once again, most people just, they just attach themselves to that negativity. And it's like, just let it go. Once you become famous.
Be negative. Here's the trick that a lot of people don't realize too is, your mind, if you say to yourself, don't, like, if you say, don't trip,
you're gonna trip.
Your mind's going to hear trip. It doesn't hear the don't. It doesn't work that way. So when you're wishing ill will on someone else, your mind is like, wait, what? Is that me? You're saying I'm this? Wait, I'm everything. So it's like positivity. It's important, and it's really difficult in this business. But nobody wants to work with a jackass either.
Right. Even if you suck it up, it's going to implode eventually to where you're like, I cannot take this anymore. And then every side loses because they're like, oh, I don't know what I said. And and you go, I should not have put up with this. What am I, a slave? This is why I really was looking forward to this chat, because a TV host gig is kind of an underrated, kind of like how podcasts are making people realize how undervalued they are in terms of utilizing their voice. And podcasts are now even embracing radio dramas again. And but I think a host is like kind of even more in need now, because nowadays it's really just who's a sitcom star on the same network, you know, in terms of, well, here's a guy who's handsome, has a great voice, or here's a gal who's...
But that's honestly, I have to tell you, when did it start?
Round of one.
It started about 10 years, 10, 11, 12 years ago.
Yep. I was 11 watching the VHS tapes.
That's when the business really started to shift, when movie stars, TV stars,
a few years away from digital.
But they started to do voiceovers and they started to do hosting jobs.
They hired Keegan-Michael Kay later on, and you could tell it was very robotic. He was very restrained from what he usually, you know, shows.
He replaced me on Planet's Funniest Animals. Mm-hmm. And they did that because I was going into year 6 of my contract. And
I'm sorry.
Those deals, every year, they grow.
Yes.
Right? The only way that they could get out of the deal was to cancel the show. So we were one of the most popular shows on Animal Planet, even more so than The Croc Hunter.
Absolutely. It was calm. We actually learned something.
People love laughing at the funny animals. But they canceled it. And that was before he was super huge, but he came on, and I thought, honestly, the guy is brilliant, but he's not a TV host.
Yeah.
He's an amazing actor. He's an amazing comedian, but he was not a good Animal Planet host.
Oh, and I saw that with Terry Crews too. And I think he's a good host, but the gags or material they gave him wasn't anywhere. Like, it never felt organic. So again, he suffered too.
But see, that's the thing too, man. When you're a host, oftentimes they're like, just read it.
Yeah.
And it's really up to you to make it come to life or not.
Absolutely. And I'm fine having these chats because virtually everyone's kind of picking each other's brain, and they're mature enough to handle the truth, regardless of whether they want to accept it or not. Like, we're hearing about how all these famous shows got advertised and how all these movies got made, and really, it didn't have anything to do with the content. It was literally be something just very generically dumb, like, I'd like that gal's ponytail. Well, okay, that's literally how you signed on to be producer. Whatever gets us $2 million in the bank, I guess, whatever. It's just, you have to just go along with it. Not everyone's gonna be on the same page, and they don't have to be. Use it. We're not taking advantage of them, but we are just saying, okay, if this entertains you and this gets what I want done, it's ridiculous, but okay, we'll make it work.
No, totally. I get it. Yeah.
I've talked to filmmakers who, long story short, they were dead on arrival. They were a nobody. Their name wasn't Scorsese or Spielberg. So as a result, they got the movie taken away from them, and it's the movie they're infamous for. And that's a tough business too. People have to learn, hey, not everyone's going to be bright enough to how filmmaking works, about how when you come onto even a TV show, like the director has a bunch of producer's notes, and it doesn't matter if, again, their name is, as their surname is, begins with an S. It's just, if you get the gig, there's going to be different rules every time, and you got to pretty much just be upfront, say, yes, no.
No, it's true. And it's and nowadays too, with it's also a different world too when it comes to humor, things you can and can't say.
Mm-hmm. Some stuff that was okay might be a little too insensitive now.
Yeah, some stuff that you watch in movies 10 years ago, you're like, oh, it's cringeworthy now, and you're like, wow, they couldn't do that now.
Oh, don't lie. I thought of a homophobic joke the other day, and I was like, I can see why it's funny, man. That's messed up. And I have to live with the fact that I laughed at that. I thought it was funny. No one got hurt. Really? Who knows?
Someone in the room. That's the, you know, it's a generational thing. I mean, you get around a bunch. If you ever have around a bunch of grandfathers in their 80s, you know, it's they have a different different. Set of principles about humor, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime I invite friends over to my folks' house, I literally okay every one of these, and I describe, hey, this guy's cool, but if you give him too many drinks, you're gonna have to call him a cat. This guy, he's not politically correct, or he gets on political tangents. Are you comfortable bringing him here even though he's your friend from college? You know, it's just and I do that just to be safer rather than sorry, but also just to save everyone trouble. You know, if I know I'm going to get an FU response on my text. I just laugh it off now. I'm like, of course he would say that.
So where are you? You're in Dallas?
I'm in Dallas, and I do have family in San Francisco, for those who can't see this. And I've done movie extra roles and filmmaking roles. And I hate to say this, dude, there have been several times. Well, Mr. Gallant, you don't deserve to be called dude, but it is interesting how I would see a lot of people. Good.
That's all right, man.
I know. What was interesting and kind of unintentionally funny is I saw so many people getting the wrong notion. Like they were having a over the top ego to the point where it's like, okay, you're the guy, you were a Secret Service agent in this movie or that movie, but what you did on these, you know, non-union states, you can't do on a union state when you get there. It's not going to fly. And they just would not believe me. And so then finally they got uninvited by one of the ADs who was also kind of a character. I'm like, well, yes, that guy's a jerk, but I told you, they don't like anyone who's, you know, not the first five names on the call sheet acting up or doing what they're.
Listen, I did some background work. A buddy of mine's a commercial director.
Oh, lovely.
So he'd have all his union friends in the background because, you know, you make a couple $100 a day. And we had the same crew and it was so funny. you really have to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And pay attention. Yeah. But it's you know, that's always a fun day doing
that. It might be dorky at 5 a.m., but by 8 a.m. they're gonna tell you some jokes, you know, or they're gonna get you a giant cake and you will have forgotten that argument you had 5 hours ago.
Exactly.
Oh man. And I thank you so much for just even giving a moment of your time, because like,
oh, of course, man. No problem. I'm happy. Listen, I believe we're in this world to help each other. You know,
it's a good way to look at it, because so many people, they will give kind of BS answers like, oh, I don't know how to help. Well, like you say, listen, ask.
I'll tell you, I can break it down. I love helping people. And again, I'm not going to be competing against. I believe if I'm going to get a job, I'm going to get a job. I'm competing against my effort, not someone else's, right? Mm-hmm. That's just how it works. But my whole thing is, you know, if somebody has, you know, questions, I'll always I'll always help and I'll always be honest. You know, and sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, though. Sometimes people don't want to hear that. Like, I had a buddy of mine. He was going to move back here about 10 years ago. And I said, hey, man, there's nothing going on. There's cricket. I said, there's nothing going on, bro. And he didn't believe me. And sure enough, he moves out here, brings his family, you know, and there was nothing. And I'm like, you know, I mean, you can't make jobs happen.
Right.
Unless you get the money to produce and finance it.
Unless you are, in fact, the main guy who's.
Yeah, you can't make jobs happen. I mean, I've had a really, you know, really strong career.
A blessed career, I'd say.
I would love to, you know, do some more shows and work a bunch more. And here's the thing too, dude, when you get older, your priorities are going to change a lot.
Oh, 1,000%.
And here's what I tell people who want to, I coach people and,
lovely.
I actually started a hosting seminar about 20 years ago with this woman, and I left it, and she still runs it.
And it was a walk in the park, I bet, because you already had public speaking under your belt.
Yeah, and you know what? But here's what I would tell people. A couple things. If you want to be in TV or movies or radio or whatever it is, you got to get into it for the right reasons. Because if you're doing it just to be famous or to hook up, you know, with some hot chicks or handsome guys or whatever the thing is,
yeah,
that is not enough to sustain you through the hard times. And everybody that's in this business, that's been in this business, has gone through a difficult time. Most people. And those who didn't created their own difficult time with drugs and drinking,
mm-hmm,
and then had to come out of it.
Right.
So you look at a guy like Robert Downey Jr. Oh my God. So talented. Nobody would touch that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he's in jail. He was in like jail, prison for drugs. Right. But now look what happened. Meant to be, turned it around. One of the richest actors out there. One of the most creative guys out there. Marvel is all because of him. All because of him and Iron Man. But he was meant to do it. And that was his passion. So it's going to really be your passion because, and we all know, there are people who are going to work hard, harder than you. And
always.
And you can have all the talent in the world, but it's the hard work and persistence that outshines talent all the time, because somebody that thinks they're really talented may not necessarily be taking the repetitions of whatever it is you're trying to learn as an actor or a host or whatever, because they already know how to do it. And then somebody comes in who's younger, better looking. And the other thing I tell people is, man, don't just sell sex. You know, the girls, don't just sell your, you know, TNA, because you know what? Your window's this big. It's going to close really fast because there's going to be someone younger and prettier.
Right.
Make it about personality. Make it about your opinion.
I've lost track of how many shows that people are still complaining, just give us DVD at this point. And the studios are not interested because they're like, well, you didn't watch it back then, so why should we remaster it for you now? And sooner or later, though, someone will break in and speak the language, but it might be, well, it still might not sell well because the audience they were aiming at may have evaporated a bit. But that's not for us to decide either. And that's so true, too. There are so many people who, after all their struggles, finally revealed to others, hey, I'm really in a position now to not let you down. I've sobered up or whatever. And it is interesting how some people still got to do more than just, you know, beg on your knees and say, I promise I won't do it again. Others still have to say, you know, hey, whatever it takes, you know, I'll take a pay cut, I'll mow your lawn. But even if it gets to the point of begging, it still is just like, you know, don't come off as desperate, come off as, like you say, honest. I've been through the rough patches. I've hurt some feelings.
Yeah, you gotta look at it. And you also have to have a life.
Yes.
You know? Because, you know, if I look at what I do now as, you know, as a great job. You know, it's a job. It's not my life. When I was younger, it was my life. You know?
Absolutely.
When I was younger, it was my life. But as I've gotten older and experienced different things, you know, it's a great career and I love doing it, but it's not my life. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I was up for something the other day. I'm like, oh, if I don't get it, okay. I mean, that's the way, but I also, you know, I'm doing other stuff. I'm coaching middle school baseball. I'm producing. I had a show that we almost sold, and I don't want to get into it, but it was just, you know, but it was 5 years in the making, and we got down to the very end, and then some shit happened.
That's rough.
In the city, in San Francisco, and that was that.
Mm.
So that's TV right there for you.
Oh, it totally is.
I've been working on this thing 5 years. Just, it hasn't happened yet. Will it happen? If it's meant to, it will, I guess. But I mean, it hasn't happened yet. So it's like, okay, well, I can't. No,
that's so true. I've noticed that with even script writers. Everyone was like, whoa, what happened? You know, did they anger someone? Did they say the wrong word? Did they get canceled? And it's like they've been selling scripts since day one. And it's so true. Sometimes you do all the work and it still doesn't pay off. I'm seeing people, they have a Oscar on their shelf and people still don't want to work with them. It's not even that they're opinionated or saying the wrong thing. Just for whatever reason, everyone's like, it's not a superhero movie, pass.
No, 100%. But I mean, those are the thing, you know, so for me, I never rain on anybody's parade. I'm always like, you know, I think you should go for it. But if you're going to go for it, you want to do it right. You know, because there are a lot of people that say they're going to do, you know, they're the three people. Think it, say they're going to do it, and then those who do it.
Right.
So, you know, taking action is the hardest thing, because what happens when that dream gets smashed on the rocks?
Oh, it's just too rough, because you're like, how could I rewind that? I can't.
What do I do now? What do I do now?
What do I do different? You know, I don't even know what I did wrong, you know, or what caused them to storm out angry.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever it may be. So it's sort of like,
maybe they're just, I shouldn't have talked to them to begin with. They're just the wrong crowd.
Yeah, or it just means it's, you know, it just really comes down to, other thing too is preparation.
Yes.
So
much of that.
So when you're doing your thing, you know, I know you want to go into a conversation. I'm sure you have a bunch of topics you want to talk about and just see where it goes. And it's, there are people that won't do that. They'll just try to wing it and then it doesn't work. So.
Oh, absolutely. I try to have some outline. And then there are other times where I just have to cut the interview down. It's like, okay, it didn't go the way I wanted. And I'm not sure it's going the way they want either. They're kind of ad-libbing. So I'm going to find another creative way. I might bring another person in on this topic and we'll go to commercial and we'll go to their section. You know, you do have to rewrite it.
I mean, it's one of those things. I think, again, I go back to the whole idea of we're here to help other people, you know, I mean,
all the time. Like, I loved your show because I actually was learning about the animals, and then like Sesame Street, you end it with a guffaw. It's like, are you paying attention? And we would hear your voice when we went to Orlando back in 2007. I kid you not.
Oh yeah. At the ride, right?
Yes. And and even though the puns were dry, it's like, see, we're seeing live animals. You can tell that they're actually being well-treated, unlike some circuses, you know, that got into trouble. And the hosts and trainers are really loving the turnout. The whole stadium's packed, you know, and they're going to do this six more times today. You know?
No, believe me, I remember when that they launched that. I flew out there. It was so much fun. It's a lot of fun. And we I think that's when Animal Planet was so much more family friendly.
Yeah.
It wasn't all these vet shows and dogs getting killed and
buying movies that Sci-Fi Channel had passed on. Yeah, they would do some of those too, where it's like Attack of the Wild. I'm like, I thought you're promoting animal communication and learning. And I've heard so many stories about Caesar on The Pet Whisperer. So, you know, it's just like,
I've never met him. I couldn't tell you, but
yeah.
look, anybody. I'm pretty much who I am all the time.
Okay. Makes it easier.
I'm on TV though. Yeah. I mean, like, have a little bit more like, all right, you know, woo, I'm more caffeinated, but you know, I'm pretty much the same guy you see on TV, but I just don't use all those terrible puns.
Fair enough.
I mean, and those horrible jokes. I did 5 years of those jokes. And I will tell you this, typecasting is real.
Yes.
And it got me big time because I was known in town as the Animal Planet guy.
Yes.
If you had kids or pets, my fucking show was on 5 days, yeah. 5 times a day, 7 days a week.
Absolutely.
It still plays internationally, but I don't get paid for that. So,
yeah, I'm sorry that it had to end that nasty. But truth be told, I'm not too surprised because a lot of it is kind of the same steps. And again, they don't mean anything by it. They just want to do just different programming, you know. And once that different vice president comes in, you know, that they want to leave their own seal of approval. I mean, look at HBO Max, you know, it's getting into trouble. It and Netflix are both kind of like just how fame comes in steps. It seems like everyone's trying to outpredict the stock market, which is kind of dumb because you can't predict it really.
Yeah, you can. It's like trying to predict sports outcomes.
The luck.
It's not going to happen, yeah.
You either get luck or you don't get luck and you just move on.
Yeah, for sure, man.
But man, this was an absolute delight, and I hope other people listen to this and just get some self-awareness.
I'm happy to help anytime. Again, my biggest thing for anybody or any of your listeners is a couple things. You got to go into whatever you're going to try with knowledge. Research. If you want to be a TV host, research that. If you want to be an actor, do your research. You know, you got to do that. Then you got to ask yourself, are you willing to make some sacrifices? Are you willing to work nights so you can audition during the day?
I love the word sacrifice. Colin Mockery said in a recent interview saying, I'm just fortunate to have a career because I didn't make near what I was worth in terms of money. But I love doing Whose Line, and it's with my friends, and I get to have a life. So it was a sacrifice. I'm not going to make near as much as what I could have been making, but you know, no one got hurt. I utilized my talent. I can't complain.
And that's the thing. And you got to try to find positive.
Yeah.
You got to be positive because
you have to create really, it instead of waiting.
It really is.
That.
It's, you know, the law of attraction, man. You know, you become what you think about. And if you're walking around every day thinking the world's out to screw you, well, that's what you're going to get.
Absolutely. With that cynicism.
Around, yeah. If you walk around and like, and I'm not talking about like, you know, these beat, you know, peace, love, all that crap. Yeah. I'm talking about if you walk around with gratitude for what you have.
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Your health, whatever it may be.
Don't give a generic thank you. Just put the hand
but
on
you
the shoulder.
Listen, dude, you attract more of it. And I'll tell you this before I go. 2018, I got diagnosed with bladder cancer.
Oh no.
Okay. And I out of the blue. Out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I got cancer. I'm gonna die. Well, the cool part is they found it by chance at stage one. We caught it. I'm cancer free. But what I was able to experience from that. From going through that in 3 years of treatments, which sucked, what that enabled me to finally do was disconnect from the importance of who I was career-wise. Because that didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter. In fact, I was producing on a show and got fired. Fired because I had to go get surgery for the tumors in my bladder.
Oh.
So you hear that stuff and you sit there and you go, that's, yeah. But see, here's the deal. For me, it was a blessing. Slap in the face woke me up to, this is just a career. It's just a job. Don't make it your life. You know, don't make it more important than life and relationships. You know, you gotta, you know, if you want to do something, you got to give it your all. But I mean, it's Hollywood is, you know, it's sort of like that fickle, you know, that fickle person where you're like, they like you when things are good, but they don't give a shit when things are bad. So you got to be ready for that. But I say, hey, go for it. You want to do something, do it. And now's the time to do it because of this type of material. You know, you can film everything. Boom. You make a film like this. So, you know, people saying, oh, well, I live here, I can't do it. No, if you want to do it, you'll find a way.
Absolutely. And you see so many others who they kind of want to just look for a scapegoat. And like you say, this is so cool seeing from an independent person like yourself is like, just go for it. You lose nothing except maybe 2 hours that you could probably want back, but that's nothing compared to the overall, you know, end game, which is, you know, like you see so many people threatening to like get rid of their manager or agent. It was like, well, this doesn't have to end ugly. You know, the transfer could be.
The agent and manager can only get you in the door.
Yes. They're the only ones who the suits talk to.
And it's, you know, one of those things where, you know, people would say to me, oh my God, how can you do things in one take? I'm like, well, A, it's on the prompter, and B, I read it over a few times last night.
Right.
That's what a professional does. Nobody wants to stand around and wait for you because you didn't do your homework.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's the other thing. Be prepared.
Be prepared.
And listen. And the other thing is, don't, if somebody's giving you, like, director or whatever's giving you feedback, listen to it. Accept it.
Yeah.
People want you to be successful. Listen, casting agents, these people are looking to do their jobs. They want people, but they want, you know, nobody wants to work with a difficult prima donna.
Exactly. And they want to work
drama queens. Nobody wants that. You know who can be drama queens? The ultra successful people in the world. But if you're not, nobody's going to want that. They'll fire you in a second. They'll find a reason.
Absolutely. And they can't humor themselves out of that. But no, that is so true. The people giving you the notes, they've already given those same notes to 5 other people because they're in a tough spot. They're the messenger. Don't kill the messenger.
No, it's like,
I know this is BS, but could you turn to the camera a little more this way? The VP just thinks it's more theatrical. I don't know why we think your take's good, but fuck it. Let's do it that way. Don't be like Christian Bell, where instead of making a scene better, you yell at everybody because it's not your forum. And it's like, well, this wasn't your forum to begin with. And he kind of had to be in actor jail for like 5 years before he finally, everyone's like, oh, that's right. He is a good actor. You know?
It happens, man. It happens.
Totally. And truth be told, we would have never heard about that had it not been caught on tape either. That's the other thing too. Now cameras are everywhere.
Everywhere.
And there is no second chance, unfortunately. You got to, even an apology, people don't buy anymore. So yeah, you kind of just, I hope everyone's getting a lot of fun in your motivation speaking events. Do you have any upcoming events you would actually like to plug?
Actually, I do not. No.
Okay. That's fine.
No, I'm just, you know, just doing my thing and trying to, you know, help people and, you know, hopefully land a new gig.
I'm counting on you kicking ass at a TED Talk.
Hey.
I'm not joking. Nothing better than one of those, man. Just I had the hardest college project one time in a theater speaking class or something like that. It was one of those optional things, but I gained so much from it. You know, I took improv and is like, see, now I make split decisions. I don't wait for everyone's permission, but at the same time I ask them and then I say, I got an idea, let me try this out. But they had this process. It's like, find 5 TED Talks you absolutely adore, and then find 5 you just don't care for. And that was hard for me. I'm like, well, how do you find a bad TED Talk? And I just had to be very technical. It's like, okay, this guy's using his hands a little too jittery.
Yeah.
The material's fine. I still can't do, and I kept giving a disclaimer, I still can't, I could maybe do what he does, but I can't do it as well as he is doing it because he has allowed himself some extra mastering of this skill, and he so is in love with what he's talking about. You know, he's making
that's
this
what it is too, and it's experience, man. And when you get to a point where you can just be okay with who you are, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You have to say, this is me. This is what you're getting.
Yeah, it takes a long time to be, you know, comfortable in your own skin because, you know, this is a business where, you know, people said, take your glasses off. I don't want you wearing your glasses. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's happened to me. Like, yeah. Everything's fuzzy. I can't see anything, but that's okay.
I actually did that at a speaking session. Took the glasses off. I don't see anyone shitting and grins in the front row. I don't see my friend who's just trying to make me goof up. Nothing else mattered. Just like all this white noise that we're using for better sleep.
Yeah.
It's really amazing how just one simple element paints over that coat that's rotted, you know?
Totally, man. Totally. Yeah. Any other questions or any advice or anything I could give?
Just upcoming sports events, since you're clearly one that you're looking forward to.
Gosh, well, my Red Sox are terrible. I play in a men's baseball league.
Oh, lovely. No, that's...
Yeah, see, fast pitch, it's baseball, wood bat.
That's lovely.
We're two and seven.
I can't tell you how many elders who love doing sports, but can't find anyone to play with. And I've had to tell them, just go to the league. You don't even have to know anyone. They will, you know.
I did that. I did that 23 years ago. And made a ton of friends. Went out to a thing, tried out, got on a team, made friends, started my own team the next year. And then we won the Beverly Hills Wood Bat League. I think 8 out of 10 years. It's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, my joints aren't happy nowadays.
But hey, you've been through the ringer. You got a lot that you can put on that tombstone.
Man, so it's all good, bro.
And that bucket list.
Sure.
Thank you ever so much, man. This was just
Cam. Anytime, delicious. Man. Honestly, I'm. You know, reach out if you have any questions or anything like that. I'm happy to help.
Absolutely. And,
just you know, let me know, and I'll listen to it when it's done.
I will keep updating you on this, and you know, no dead air for me. I promise you. I'll just keep up with it. And if it's just, if I even see an event that just rings up, it's like, that's a TV gig, but it's also, there's like some fun stuff behind it. Like, I avoided conventions for the longest time, but I came out of my shell. I went to a convention where, I kid you not, it wasn't about the autographs. We were talking with all these celebs who were just lovely people for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I had a breather.
If you want to do stuff, you want to be a good host, got to go host stuff. Got to ask questions. You got to do all that stuff.
Absolutely.
It becomes second nature.
Totally. Anyone else would have argued about the DVD prices or tried to pick their brain, say, hey, can you get me on your next movie? I legit wanted to learn about him. And I felt good going to this convention because half the proceeds went to a dog charity. So there you go. Oh. It was a triple win.
Perfect. Yes.
I learned from the celeb. They actually were really into what I wanted to talk about. And just like, what are they teaching in film school? Oh, those hacks. It was amusing. And then at the end of the day, it's like, and I'm going to give you $80 because this is not worth $40 for this 4 hours we've been talking together.
That's cool.
It's just so interesting just seeing how it becomes more than just put a number on it, you know, value your time. It's now, what am I learning from this person, you know? And like this chat, this was cool. Because everyone else kind of goes for just, again, smack talk. It sells, but it's infamous for a reason, you know? It just, you don't get anything good out of it.
I don't like talking shit about people because it nothing good comes out of it, man. You know?
And a lot of extras I saw doing that is, and I was even educating them. Like I was de-escalating. They're like, that Lee, they must be lazy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, their job is to remember the lines and sell the character, not crash that car into a totem pole. You know, that's the stunt double's job. And their mind was blown. They're like, it's just like when they see violence or sex on TV. They know it's simulated, but they think it's semi-real. I'm like, you got to get your head out of the gutter. Yeah,
exactly.
It's bigger than life for a reason. They've just done their job too well. And my mother doesn't believe me when she sees something kind of soapy on TV. I'm like, it's the piano playing. She doesn't believe it. I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm getting tears right now. And it's because of that music cue. It's
background music. Yeah.
That is too, leaning into it too much. It doesn't matter that this is a good or a bad movie. Like that scene is working at 1,000%. And it's because of that.
Yeah. for
put the worst actor into it. It still works.
It's true. It's totally
but
true.
But they don't like to, you know, not de-escalate, but break it down. And hopefully they're taking some notes from you, from your
experience.
You
don't want to give away too much magic, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And if they don't want to know the magic, then you just say, okay, well, I let you into my world. I promise I'm not being cynical. I'm just letting you know it's a little too good to be true at times.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. 100%.
You're not preaching to the choir, just so you know.
That's cool, dude. Cool.
Keep kicking ass on the wild side, and let's have this be a lovely 2023.
Yes, let's hope. Fingers crossed. And, dude, reach out if you get any questions or anything, okay?
I promise.
Awesome, Kim. Hey, have a good one, and stay out of trouble down there.
Yeah, trust me, there's a bunch. I do mobile security, but I am non-confrontational. I don't control problems that I cannot control. If there's a protest,
yeah, you don't listen.
I'm in the watchtower.
You don't need any of that.
No.
Cool, man. Hey, yeah, seriously, reach out if I can help you again, okay?
Anyway, shape or form, I promise you, I keep all my contacts because you never know when you want to talk to these special people.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm special, but I'll take
pretty special.
Thanks, man.
Godspeed to you, my dude. I hope I made your day.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. I appreciate it.
You made mine.
Okay. Have a good one. Reach out again. I mean it.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show.